very nice feeling. And I look around here, I see many, I think I know almost everybody in the audience. And they're all friendly faces. You know, in some sub-disciplines of analysis, they're not so friendly. And there's a lot of aggressiveness. Well, we occasionally see that in our own discipline, sub-discipline. But basically, there's been a great deal of friendliness here. When I go to a meeting, always it turns out that there's another meeting to talk about. And I'd like to just mention something in passing. Three of my young colleagues will be turning 60, or have turned 60. And two of them are Canadian, as a matter of fact. And that includes Jim Vera, who's retired and was at UBC, Alan George, who's at Waterloo, and Michael Saunders, who's at Stanford. And they're all, I should say, Stanford graduates. And so they'll be turning, Jim has turned 60, Alan just turned 62, and Michael will turn 60 in January. So we're having a little informal meeting at Stanford, January 9th, 10th. And it begins at 2 p.m., so those of you coming who want to come from afar, there will be some people coming from Europe and Australia. So if you want to come from a distance, 2 p.m. is when it begins, and it'll go through Saturday, January 10th. And just to make a little easy way of remembering this, I think it's called the SVG, not any preference, Saunders, Vera, and George, and it has at least two letters in common with other matrix problems. Okay, so I want to get on to the main topic of my talk. And we'll go this way. So this is all new stuff for me, and I hope you'll excuse me if I don't perform. I thought I was going to have it really set up well, but I think it's not going to be as good as I had hoped. So let's see, what do I want? Do I have a talk here to give you? generalized eigenvalue problems. So what I want to set it up for, and it can be done in some way, but I don't think I'll be able to do it. And what I really appreciate about this device, it's, as we know, produced by Microsoft, and, or, let's see, what do I want?
Control.
Control, okay, all right, well, how can we deny... There we go. Ideally, you could be able to present these and write across it. But with PDF files, it's not as good as if you had PowerPoint. So if you have PowerPoint, you can actually write on your transparencies as you present them. But the capability exists here, but I think it'll be too hard for me today. And anyway, this work was done in collaboration with several people. Greg Boutry is a graduate student at the University of Leo. He visited me at Stanford for a year. Michael Elad was a research associate at Stanford last year. Now he's at the Technion. Payman Mulantar is at the University of California at Santa Barbara. Okay, so I want to tell you about these generalized eigenvalue problems. And here's some in the classical style, where one gives you an outline of the talk. So I don't know if I'll get to the second part of the talk in the time that's permitted. So typically, of course, one has the AX equals lambda BX problem, or the pencil problem, where the matrices are square. But there are problems where the matrices are not square, where you have more data, and you would like to solve the problem in some approximate fashion. So we will consider that. Lambdas, of course, can be real or complex. And you don't consider this in your report, do you, Peter? The journalized evidence.
No, the rectangular one.
No, you don't. Okay. So I should give another plug to Peter's book has recent on lambda matrices has recently been republished by Dover Publication. And there are corrections.
Okay.
And so we'll consider A and B rectangular. And so we want to find every lambda. And as we point out, lambda doesn't always exist. Of course, there's a clear case where you have a 2 by 1, and it's not likely that you will be able to find a lambda where often beta might equal to 0. So we have to have some other strategy.
Okay.
And so the approach we'll take is to modify A and B to A naught and B naught so that you can get some approximation to the solution. And this is what we do. We say, okay, let's modify A and B so we can construct an A0 and a B0 so that we make the change as small as possible, and then solve the problem, the homogeneous problem. And the question is how to do this. And we're interested in actually constructing algorithms, numerical algorithms for doing this. So, and there are two applications, as we point out. One is the pseudospectrum, and the other is in the notion of controllability for control systems. But it really came up in another context, which I won't discuss at this point. Okay, well, we're fortunate. At least two of the people who've worked in this area before, Demo and Kalkstrom, have both worked on this. They use the Kronecker canonical form in analyzing this problem, and so that was done earlier. And here's some other work that Kalkstrom's been involved with Alan Edelman and I think, what's Alan Ross's first name?
Eric.
Okay. I think your workshop should be informal. I'd like to stimulate questions and thoughts. Has anybody else ever seen applications of this sort of problem?
Lovely. Differentiation by equation solving.
Okay.
Automatic novel generation always leads to non-square.
Okay. And Boo, how did you come into this problem?
Well, that was the, you know, I worked on the Kronecker form with Axel, and then inspired by you and Wilkinson and others and Gimbara and so on. And the invitation was to answer the Kronecker.
But you didn't have an application in mind when you worked on it?
Yeah, it's
Okay. And anybody else ever find an application of this? Or? Okay. Okay, so we're going to study some very simple projects very soon. But so we'll look at getting the smallest singular, the lambda, which will minimize A minus lambda B. And that's our f of lambda. Okay. And here's just some examples where you can see what happens as the data matrices change. So A tilde and B tilde are just 5 by 5 matrices, and then we multiply it by an arbitrary 50 by 5 matrix. And let's see what happens when we look at these. New? It gets stuck at times. Now, what do you do?
It's Microsoft.
You think it's Microsoft? there. Wait. I've gone way too far. This is 15, 14, 15. What was that? Here we go. Sorry. There we go. All right. So here's our f of lambda, And in looking at the singular values as lambda varies, and the plus signs are the eigenvalues, and they minimize that of lambda. You can see that very clearly. But let's perturb the matrices with some random data. The standard deviation is 0.1, and I don't know if you can see it very well, but let's see, right over here, here's a circle, right, and your these are, and then here's where the eigenvalues are shifted from the where the minimum lie. Okay, so this is a just a I don't know relatively small variation.
So you took your 50 by 5 pixels and did a random perturbation.
Yeah.
So it's pretty much regular.
Yeah.
So a regular pencil with 5 eigenvalues?
No. Remember, now we're looking at this function f of lambda.
So those are the 5 original eigenvalues.
Yes. Okay. So we're seeing how the eigenvalues are perturbed in this case. And then if you do this, here, 3 equals 5, of course, you get nothing. And the true eigenvalues and the minimum are quite distant from one another. Okay. All right.
What did the word clean mean? You said clean on an earlier slide.
Oh, I don't know. Okay. So here's the first case. Here is something you can solve, okay? N equals 1, all right? So given two vectors, A and B, and then we have a unique solution to this problem. And here you can see that you modify A by matrix of rank 1, of course, since it is rank 1, and B is modified in a similar way. And lambda, of course, is a Lagrange multiplier, and you look at this quadratic equation, and you look at the positive root of this quadratic equation, that gives you the solution that you seek. Okay. All right, so that's, okay. It's found in one step, okay. And the difference between, here's a measure, between a0 minus a squared plus b0 minus is given by this quantity here. Okay. So lambda is our Lagrange multiplier. And furthermore, you can prove this is what here's the precise value of the Lagrange multiplier. Of course, the Lagrange multiplier requires that you know b0 or a0, but these expressions are useful because what might you do if you wanted to approximate lambda? You might just put b here in this expression, and that would give you an approximation to the Lagrange multiplier. Okay. So the optimization problem, this can be shown, is equivalent to minimizing this over all lambda. So the lambda appears in the denominator. Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't point out the following, that rank one problem, the one column problem, is the same thing as solving a total least squares problem. It's equivalent to that. I should have said something on that. Okay. Yeah.
How are you
ruling out
simple eigenvalues?
Essentially we're not considering those, but that should be sort of incorporated in some sense, yeah. And of course, with the ax equals lambda bx, there's cases where any value of lambda is an eigenvalue too, right? That can happen too. I personally think maybe we did the wrong parameterization. I don't know. Did you ever consider alpha a plus beta b? I think that's a more natural way of looking at this problem, but I couldn't convince my co-authors. Okay. And so here again, let's see. So you can see the optimal solution. This actually shows that it's a rank one matrix. Here's A0, it's the given A, plus this rank one matrix here. It looks rather peculiar, but it is a rank one matrix, you'll note. And B0 is a rank one, has a rank one addition to it, too. Okay. Okay, and then here's a little theorem, and we're going to use this theorem as we go along. And we're going to use this in our approximations for getting improved values. So everything is going to be iterative here. So it's, we don't see a way of sort of constructing this rank one matrix easily. That would be the ideal situation. I mean, we know in so many other situations we can construct the rank one matrix. Here we're going to iterate towards that. So alpha, you could see, is really a Rayleigh quotient, and or we're going to try to make use of this fact here. Okay, so here's, choose lambda from, okay, so what does this really amount to? This really amounts to, should I try it? I don't know. I was looking for the screen on the other side.
Okay. If you look at VAJ minus lambda VHD V0 is really equivalent to V plus A minus lambda I times W. Okay. So writing things in this form, it's really like taking the pseudo inverse of V and multiplying through by the matrix. And of course, you wouldn't do it that way either if you were going to actually. And there's lots of simplifications that can be used here. And repeat in the convergence here is update V, compute V as the small singular vector corresponding to small singular value of this matrix, and then update your lambda as the positive root of the scalar quadratic equation. Okay, and it's all we can prove, of course, is local convergence for an algorithm of this nature. Okay, miracle. The rate seems to be linear for such a computation. Okay, and so now we show more. We'll show some more numerical visualization. Visuals, I guess, is the word. Okay. Yes.
Ah. It's a picture.
Oh, it's a big. Yeah, I guess when it comes to looking at pictures, then it takes a while. Sorry. It's in there somewhere. Yeah, let's try to construct a nice big picture. Okay, what can I do? Tell jokes or?
Can I ask a question about relationships?
Yeah, sure.
So I vaguely recall some work on superspectra for rectangular pencils that maybe use Boyd, Bell, Christian, Byers kind of things to get a bounded on the outside. Do I remember this correctly or not? And given that Ralph is here, maybe he can tell me if I'm saying something silly. I'm being too excited. Maybe I'll read this for you.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm saying.
Okay, go ahead. Are you saved by the bell? Did you hear Demo's question? Or?
Yes.
Okay, well,
never mind. Good. Well, here you can see, I don't know if you can see so well here, but you can see how the approximations drift towards the solution, and it's basically, it takes several iterations. It's not something that happens immediately. But it drifts towards the solution that one is seeking. And this is with a small standard deviation. See, you know, this is a 50 by 5 matrix.
Gene is at my side, but I see three arrows. Should I see five arrows?
Yes.
Of the drifting going from the...
Well, there's five.
Yeah. There are five.
Yeah. Right.
Could you point them out?
see.
1, 2, 3.
Here's one.
Yeah.
2, 3.
Oh, two there.
And here's the plus. The pluses are actually the eigenvalues.
Solution.
Yeah, solution.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, this one, for instance, is particularly difficult to see.
Yeah.
Sorry. Am I going in the right direction? Okay. Then here's a matrix factorization that's very useful. So using the generalized SVP, you can prove the following, that you can always decompose these two matrices simultaneously. Here's W, it's a unitary matrix. AN and BN are diagonal matrices. And that, of course, simplifies the calculation. The W can be forgotten about because you're looking at the norm. So then, and the X, X of course, can be is just a transformation. So the whole problem becomes somewhat simpler with AN and BN two diagonal matrices, and here you have AN transpose. It's like sines and cosines, of course. That's not the proof is a combination of QR and the GSVD. There are lots of matrix decompositions you can use here to simplify the calculation. Okay. All right, so let's see. Squaring methods, and here we look at some approximations. Okay, and then we get on to the pseudospectrum. Okay. And here's Trefethen's definition of pseudospectra when you have only one matrix involved. And we're going to extend the definition by Valerie Frase. And here's what we're going to use. We're going to modify A and B and the semi squares. The Frobenius norm of E squared plus F squared is less than epsilon. Okay. Now let's see. Here we can. And here is various, using the epsilon pseudospectra for the matrix that we described. And you can see, well, there's a lot of, okay. So this is probably a very interesting application. And it's just about the time that we're coming to the end of the my time. Okay. And we talk about perturbing the matrices so that that they become nearly controllable, that we say A and B is nearly uncontrollable if, when you modify the matrices, it's uncontrollable. All right. Well, there's the problem is very similar to the one that we just discussed, but I've actually come to the end of my half hour, so I'll just...
You have another 5 minutes.
No, I do have 5 minutes.
You started
10:03. Okay, yeah, well, just stand. Okay, so now let's look at, now we have this problem to minimize. And we do rank one perturbations as we've discussed earlier. Okay, and the necessary condition to solve off are given by, and here we have some of these conditions are very similar to ones, just using the relationships that we've developed previously. So then we develop a numerical algorithm, choose your lambda, repeat until convergence, and compute you as a less singular vector, and as we're looking at the smallest singular value. Okay. So Dan Bowley actually created several examples here, and we looked at those and solved them using our techniques. So he found a lambda 1.998 and an error bound of the order of 7 times 10 to the minus 3, and we got something very close to the values that he derived. Yeah. Well, we've been looking for real ones, yes. Yeah, that's basically.
Why was yours value bigger than his?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure what's going on. Okay, at any rate, the techniques that Bowley devised and the ones that we've described are very similar. And this is really an interesting, it's an interesting, there are lots to be done here, and this is just the beginning. And so we've discussed the general form of this problem, and we won't extend these results to treat the general problem with n pairs and eigen pairs as opposed to both. So it's still, I think there's still a lot of work to be done. I think the numerical algorithm still requires some work. These simplified techniques, they seem to work, but I would think that there should be methods that are closer to being quadratically convergent, or using more powerful optimization methods than simple substitution methods. So that's it. It's a nice class of problems. We've seen that other people have attacked these problems. Did you do any numerical work? I can't remember, Boo, in what...
Yes, but you mean this was comparability, not so much.
Yeah, yeah. But I think it's an area that needs to be looked into.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Many
problems. Yeah, okay. Thank you. Oh, I should say our paper is on the web. Let me point this out. Well, it's, if you look on our web pages at Stanford, sccm.stanford.edu, then there's a report which has been submitted to a journal and we think will be published in the near future. So.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, next speaker is Roy.